This week we have observed what was called, especially in ancient times, All Hallowtide, also sometimes called All Saints Triduum. Hallowed is a word we don't really use much anymore, but to be hallowed is to be holy. It's a time we remember those who have gone before us, who have walked in holiness. And this all began with All Hallows' Eve, the eve of All Hallows' Day, of All Saints' Day, which we know more commonly as Halloween. I've noticed, as I have traveled through the neighborhood, more Halloween decorations than I think I have ever seen before. Great displays and orange lights, and even some orange and purple lights. And I noticed again this morning as I was walking down the hill, this bed of ivy with this skeletal hand coming up. It is a night which has captured our imagination. But in the Middle Ages, it was serious business. There was the belief that on that night, the veil between the living and the dead was very thin. And in fact, those who were dead could wander the earth. They might play a prank on someone. They might even seek vengeance for some old wrong. And so it's a night that has an element of fear to it, of trepidation, of uncertainty as to what might happen. But the day that follows is very different. By the light of that day, by All Saints' Day, all fear is gone. In a way, that's the point of that feast. For on that day we remember those exemplars of the faith, those who have gone before us, whose names are on our calendar, those who lived godly lives, some of whom even were martyred, those who did not give in to fear, but who followed in the way that God led. And then the third day is All Souls' Day, a more intimate and quiet day. On that night we gathered here to remember those that we love and see no more. Perhaps those known only to us. And we offer prayers for them as they journey into the fullness of God's presence. And we ask them to pray for us as we journey through this earthly life. All of this then culminates in today, All Saints Sunday. All Saints is one of the few feasts that can be moved to the Sunday following. And so we bring to a close this celebration of All Hallowtide. And what's so important about it, I think, is that it asserts that there is a connection between the living and the dead. That in God no one is lost, that the love that we share even with those who have died is not ended by death. Though this mortal life ends, we continue to live in God for eternity. It also, I think, offers us a glimpse of the reality that there's more to life than we might see in this realm. It's a feast that reminds us that eternity regularly breaks into this existence, showing us God's intention for all of creation. That intention I find in today's first lesson from the book of Revelation. I find this lesson to be so moving and to express that hope we have for the consummation of God's kingdom at the end of time. There's that image of the great multitude standing before the throne of the Lamb, and they are all worshiping God. Their robes have been washed white by the blood of the Lamb. And we share in that promise through the waters of baptism. We put on Christ. We share in his death and his resurrection. And in that image, in that lesson, there is a multitude, a great multitude from all the peoples of the earth. And they gather with the angels and they worship God day and night. And where they are, there is no hunger, there is no thirst, there is no scorching heat. And the Lamb is there shepherding the people, gathering them, leading them, protecting them, bringing them to the springs of the water of life. And in that place, God wipes away every tear from their eyes. For death is no more. It has been defeated. There is no more sorrow and pain and crying. And we are given that promise that through baptism, we will share in that inheritance of all the saints, of all those who have gone before us. We, like them, will come into that presence of God to worship God for eternity. This might cause you to ask, what is a saint? How does one become a saint? And I think there are a couple different answers to that. St. Paul is clear in his writings that all who have been baptized are saints of God. I once heard someone say that a saint is an ordinary person called to do extraordinary things. I think the important thing there is that the saints, even those on the calendar, those great exemplars of the faith, are people just like you and me. They are not people who were perfect. No one but God is perfect. They knew temptation as we do. They sinned as we all do. For all people fall short of the glory of God. But what those saints had was that recognition that God calls them to a particular way of life. A way of life that puts everything above, that puts God above everything else. That God is more important even than their families, their communities, the groups they belong to, even than their countries. That God is calling to a way of life where God is primary. And so the saints did not seek the glories and promises of this world, going after riches, going after power. They sought the kingdom of God. They lived by loving service. They didn't do this perfectly. And when they strayed, when they fell short, they confessed, they repented. They asked for and accepted God's forgiveness. And then they continued to do their work. And so God took ordinary people, people who are the saints, and was able to use them, both in their giftedness and in their imperfections in God's service, to be about the work of ushering the kingdom of God in this life and in this world. And what that life looks like, we hear in our gospel, in the Beatitudes. Jesus goes up the mountain to teach the people, which echoes Moses going up the mountain to receive the law. Matthew is clear that Jesus is following in the tradition of Moses. But Jesus does something different. He doesn't give a new law. Instead, he offers teaching on that law that God gave to Moses. He offers the ultimate interpretation. And he says, here's how you do this. Jesus is saying that what's important is not just listening, not just hearing his words, but doing what he says. Living the life that Jesus calls us to. And so Jesus calls those who are listening and calls you and me to live in a state of blessedness. You hear that over and over again. Blessed are. To be blessed is to have a kind of happiness that's derived from being in right relationship with God. It doesn't mean we're always happy, but it means we rest in that knowledge that we are in relationship with God, and through that we become blessed. And we become a blessing to all other people. And Jesus is calling us in the Beatitudes to especially be a blessing to those who are marginalized and those who are the least. Now, these Beatitudes are both a statement of what is to come, but also the reality now. They're first a statement of the reality of God's intention for all of creation. And that is a promise of what things will be like at the end of time, when God gathers everyone and everything into eternity. And it's that image of worshiping forever at the throne of the Lamb, a place where it is always day, there is no night, where there's no want or need, where all are welcomed, all belong, and all are valued as beloved children of God. But it is also a statement of God's intention for this world here and now, a call to all the followers of Jesus of a way to live. And it's that call to live in that state of blessedness, of right relationship with God, that we can then all be a blessing to others. And so Jesus teaches us through the Beatitudes what the way of God looks like. And it has several important characteristics. Among them, there's humble dependence on God's grace. It's about following only God. Early on, Matthew tells us we can't follow God and money. That's impossible. And so this is about single-minded devotion to God. It is a way of life which is a call to pray ceaselessly for the inbreaking of God's kingdom and to be about the work of God's reign in this world. It is a call to mourn for the injustices, the economic injustices of our world, and to mourn for the indifference of the rich and privileged. It is a call to be a people who are gentle, who are humble of spirit, who practice nonviolence. And it is a call to thirst for God's saving righteousness, that God will deliver everyone from injustice. And it's a call to show mercy and compassion to others, to imitate God in being merciful as God is merciful to us. And to do that really, really hard work. That work of being a reconciling people, of bringing together those who are at odds, of healing those divisions, both individuals, within our families, within groups, even within our nation. It's a call to work for that shalom of God, that peace of God, which is not just the absence of strife and conflict, but is about the well-being, working for the welfare of everyone. At the end of the gospel, Jesus tells us, though, this may get us into conflict. Living this way may lead us into differences with other people, particularly those living by the values of this world. But when that happens, to rejoice, to know that God is with you, for you are taking a stand for God's justice. You are walking in blessedness. I think this world needs an awful lot of people walking in blessedness. And I know it's even true of our neighborhood. I was so sad again on Friday afternoon to be invited to attend another prayer vigil for a young man who was gunned down, this time on Olney Street. On Halloween night at 10:30, James Goddard was killed in gun violence. He was 28, a father. A man who has not been named, who was sitting in his home, was wounded by a stray bullet. At the vigil, family and friends and community leaders, clergy and police and the mayor gathered to pray, to support one another, to try to find hope in the midst of this tragedy. And it was not easy to do. The pain and the sorrow were palpable. The anger that so many young men have been killed in this neighborhood was real. There is just no real way to find how to express how the neighborhood feels at this injustice. And so there are no easy answers about how we respond, what we do in response. But clearly things need to change. So many young men of color lack real choices, don't have access to education and employment opportunities, and turn to guns and to violence. Those of us who have opportunity, who are blessed with privilege, can do things to help in the political arena and to make changes in our world. But I think we as followers of Jesus can also be that presence of blessedness in the midst of despair and violence. And I think there are ways we can do that, particularly continuing things we have begun, to be working at building relationships with those in our neighborhood. We've begun that through the Eastside Community Alliance. There is strength in working together, and when there are strong relationships, violence is less likely to happen. We can continue our work with Camp Street Ministries, feeding those who are hungry, getting to know people in our neighborhood. We can continue the work that we are doing to bring to birth and to reality our new music program, a program that has at its heart building relationships with the young people in this neighborhood, offering them meaningful experience of music making, providing a safe way to spend their time, and engaging in that very rewarding and life-changing, transformative experience of serious music making. We are called to be that presence of blessedness, of reconciliation in this broken world. And in a few minutes, we're going to renew our own baptismal covenant on this All Saints Sunday. That covenant where we promise to live by the faith of the saints, to follow Jesus in that way of blessedness, to renounce the powers of Satan and evil in this world, and to promise to love all as Jesus does, to live by loving service, working to fight injustice and oppression. And so let us give thanks for the witness of the saints. And may we always follow their example, trusting that God can use our gifts and even our imperfections to bring about God's kingdom. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can indeed be ordinary people who accomplish extraordinary things in the name of God. We can be people who can do more than we can ask or even imagine. For we can be a blessing to a world that is full of evil, injustice, despair, and violence. It is in doing so that God's kingdom may indeed come, and come soon. Amen.